This is Disabled Girls Who Lift. We are reclaiming what's rightfully ours one podcast at a time. It's Mary Beth, Chloe, and Marcia bringing you the thoughts and unpopular topics to get you out of that ableist comfort zone. Hey guys, welcome back. Episode 30 of Disabled Girls Who Lift. Do you know what else is on the number 30? The anniversary of the ADA. We're in the 30th year. And, you know, we're kind of babies in the game. We're just here talking on podcast, learning about disability rights and history and activism and how it relates to our lives. So let's talk about it. This is Marcia from South Florida.
It's Mary Beth from California, and I'm proud as fuck to be disabled. How about
you? Fuck. Bitch, I'm disabled. What you thought?
But you don't look disabled.
Yeah, well, it's very funny because so we started this podcast because we have an identity. We have a way that we live our lives. We want to fucking lift, and that kind of clashes. Those two realities definitely clash. And so we started a podcast. And so here we are, little disabled girls doing our little lifting. And then we spend more time. We spend more time building a community. We spend a lot more time talking to people on the internet, on Twitter, and just reading and learning. And there are so many things that honestly I see in an entirely new worldview. And one of those things is learning that July is Disability Pride Month.
Who would have known
that? I didn't know
that. Who would have thunk?
And what else is in July, Mary Beth?
Yeah, and it's funny too, because so much that we learn on, like you said, Twitter or Instagram or these podcasts, you cannot read on a book or watch in a movie, because either the people that are represented are not disabled and are just working hard on their acting skills to look and act and think like us. And it's just not as accurate unless you hear it from our perspectives. And every disability is so different too, that it's just nice hearing that we're not alone in it all.
Definitely.
But July, what's in July?
What's in July? So we just found out, okay, it's Disability Pride Month. All right, we knew about Pride Month in June. That's rainbows. Got it. July, why? What are we proud of?
July 26th, and by the time this comes out, we're going to be in August, but 30 years, y'all, 30 years only. Feels like a long time, but the ADA was signed into law. What does that mean? That means disabled people now have the right to vote. They have the right to go to school, work in the same workplace as everybody else who is able-bodied. What's another one? You know, marry, have the ability to own property, things like that. And you assume that these rights are equal for all, but no, we weren't included in that.
No, we weren't. And it's a big gripe with a lot of people that are at the intersection of Black and disabled, or immigrant and disabled, or Native and disabled, because every fight that we have in this country is just, it's like one little piece of you, you know? Oh, great, we got civil rights in the 60s, but like, I'm disabled. This didn't really, I still have a whole part of my life that needs some rights. Mm-hmm. You have to wait till the 90s. It's wild to me. And it's only, like you said, only 30 years. So, I mean, I was a toddler.
I wasn't born.
Yeah. So it's a concept, honestly, truly, a concept. It's wild that it makes sense why July would be Disability Pride Month, because of that monumental act. However, of course, you know, we're going to say that this is like a start. It's not the best thing. Ableism isn't solved, just like racism wasn't solved with a black square on Instagram. But at least we finally got a start. Yeah. It took 1990.
Yeah. And I mean, laws getting signed into place don't mean shit. And again, this is just the United States. What's going on outside of here, other places in the world? If your baby's born disabled, you're still getting killed.
Yeah, that's a
great point. I mean, we still see it here, but you know, Like, there is always a long ways to go. It doesn't just mean, all right, if your building has a ramp, you're accessible. If your building has an elevator for a 5-10 story building, you know, it's everything else, the conversations that you have with people, whether you look somebody in the eye if they're in a wheelchair, you know. So we have to talk about ableism.
All these little things. And I think there's like, it's interesting because when I grew up, first of all, nobody ever talked about the ADA or anything like that. Or there's, you know, there's different acts for related to school and educational programs and all these kind of things. I don't really know anything about that stuff. I learned a glimpse of it in PT school because you treat kids, you know, you learn about kids with cerebral palsy and that they'll get this and that and extra therapy. They get this paid for in the school and the school has to give them this and that. And, you know, I got like a paragraph of learning, but like diving into it deeply, it's not at all what I pictured. As growing up, somebody says something about ADA, like really, that's like you said, a ramp, that's all you think of, like a wheelchair person. Okay, has nothing to do with me. Great.
Right.
That's definitely not the case for what ADA means and how much more important it really is. The other part that surprised me when I looked into it is that it's not really, it's like a guideline, it's a rule, it's whatever, but it's not like you can call up somebody and say, hey, I'm pretty sure I got fired because I'm disabled. Mm. And, you know, the police aren't going to knock on their door like, oh, well, you violated ADA. Let's go to jail. And maybe I'm naive, but that's really what I thought.
Yeah. And if they even get to that point, like we have spoken to so many people who don't even disclose their disability at an interview or at an application because of the fear of not even getting hired. So getting fired is almost a blessing because so many of us don't get hired.
You got the job.
Like, I think about this. I'm back in the job market. I'm going into interviews. Am I going to hide my hand in my pocket so they don't think that I am incapable of marketing well for them or doing customer service right? But I'm not doing that anymore. I'm so past that. I mean, okay, not that past it.
You're past that today.
Insecurities.
You're past that today.
But yeah.
It's a up and down. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, took quite a long time to get there.
Yeah. I mean, you spent your whole life wondering where you fit in and how you fit in and not understanding that disabled isn't a bad word.
So. And like you said, I mean, your discovery of being chronically ill, being sick, being and undiagnosed, you know, spoony, goes hand in hand with me. Even though I'm visually disabled, I never saw myself as that because of the symbol, which is the wheelchair.
Right. Exactly. Like,
how do we not only realize that it's okay to be disabled, take pride in it, but then also understand, you know, how our difference, you know, is normal and organic in this world.
Right. We spend so much time trying to force an idea of normal that if we just like fucking lived and let everybody else live, we'd be better off. Like I honestly feel like I'm going to be 32. I'm spending the first 2 years of my 30s, I feel like I've spent unlearning anything I've learned from 0 to 18.
Unlearning everything.
Unlearning. Unlearning what it means to be disabled. Unlearning what it means that there's part-time wheelchair users. Unlearning that people are maybe on Instagram, even though they can't see. Just all of these little things that you just keep on picking up and you have no idea. I mean, just me as a spoony and a strength athlete, there's so many people that will come in my DMs and they'll be like, you know, I never told anybody because I look fine.
Yep.
But I know what you're talking about. Like, oh, that dizziness or that neuropathy or that pain. Yeah, me too. But I'm kind of scared to tell anybody about it. All of these things are real.
Yeah.
Very real and very valid. And I think the celebrating that ADA happened is kind of like a jump off point. Like, we're gonna say, hey, this is great, 30 years ago this happened, this meant a lot, and that's like the jumping point, I think. And if we approach our identities and how we feel about ourselves and what we're capable of, that's how you could find the pride in the disability. So like, okay, wow, it's the third year of ADA. We finally got some disability rights and this is what we want for the future. So you look at yourself, okay, fuck, I have lupus, or, you know, I have chronic fatigue. I don't even know what I have. And I'm going to be a badass anyway. And that's how you find pride in it.
I black out in the middle of a deadlift. I'm a badass anyway.
Yeah. Like, and I'm still going to do this. And I still want more, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Not an exclusion. It's not an exclusionary criteria. It's not like a deal breaker. Like, oh, something's wrong with you. You got to go. That's how it used to be.
And in conversation with so many able-bodied athletes or able-bodied people in your industry, our industry, they look at us and they're like, oh, I didn't even know. You're a great athlete despite your disability. You are beautiful despite your disability.
Yeah.
Or like you went through all these levels of education despite your disability. But no, like, sure, it's a part of us. That doesn't define or hold us back from succeeding, but that is the way that it's seen still. You know, 30 years into the ADA being signed and finally acknowledging us as humans, we're still other. We're still not necessarily seen as the normal human. But I'm seeing it more now in our conversations. And I love it.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's like, it's definitely an everyday table conversation for some of us. I mean, not everyone, but at least it's on the radar.
Yeah.
It's definitely on the radar. And I think that's the future of where we're going to go, how we're going to get more accessible, is that we're opening the eyes of a lot of people to understand that even if they are disabled, their disability is not like everyone else's. Even if they are disabled, they can still do whatever the fuck they want. And people that don't have disabilities can understand both of those realities. I think that's where we're getting.
And people who don't have disabilities can realize that they could one day be disabled.
Exactly.
And realize that it's not a bad thing. That will
exactly. It doesn't take
have
much.
That community there for you waiting.
It doesn't take much. Yeah, but you know, you can have Guillain-Barré after having the flu and you're in the hospital. Like, dang, that didn't go well. Next thing you know, you have Guillain-Barré, or who knows? Who knows what happens? Maybe you have an accident. Who knows? There are people right now that haven't fully recovered from COVID. They don't even know what to call these people.
Hmm.
So who knows? You're right. Really, at any point, it could be you. So yeah. There's no point on shitting on that idea or identity. And then, like you said, that despite word. I think we stick to ands. We stick to ands. I'm disabled and not the, doing this despite that. Like, that's...
that and I think old. About it a lot when new people are coming into our community and saying, just our name, you know, Disabled Girls Who Lift.
Mm-hmm.
We could be a girl, we could be a man, we could be disabled or not disabled. We could lift without those identities, but grabbing hold of that and being proud of our abilities, I think, is what comes out of the name a lot more than, I don't know, people see it as, what do they say? People see it as, not very many disabled girls can lift, but this group can. But that's not at all what it's about. I think people need to start understanding that just because we take pride in these labels doesn't mean that that's how we define ourselves.
Right. Or that is how we define ourselves. But your definition and my definition are two different sets of sentences.
Yeah. And we don't solely define ourselves as disabled.
I think the problem is that, because there are people that I'll meet, especially when we had the talks about sexuality and all those different labels and terms, and people were really confused about it. Like, what? Why do you need to say pan? And I heard this, and I heard asexual, and there's aloe, and there's that. Like, well, why does it matter? And, well, when you are that other person, of course it matters, because you spent your whole life not knowing what to call yourself, because you looked at, you know, a regular standard quote-unquote person, you're like, that's not me. you look at Brad Pitt and whoever in the movies when you're growing up.
Definitely not me.
I'm like, that's not me. Like, so when you find that word and you're like, this describes who I am, like spoony, like, oh, that describes who I am. And some people don't really get, like, why do you want another label? Because, like, I have an entire existence that you can't encapsulate just by saying I'm a person. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I want you to know the levels. I want you to know I'm Black. I want you to know I'm femme. I want you to know I'm a spoonie. Like, I want, like, that's my description. I'm going to put all those labels there. And it's not, I think it might be, like, in line with the colorblindness thing, maybe.
Yeah,
because for me, I would rather put those I want you to come up to me and say I'm trans, non-gender conforming. Tell me who you are.
Oh, and but I
that we're pigeonholing ourselves or putting ourselves in boxes. Mm. If anything, we are taking out of the box what society stuffed in and saying, fuck you, this is me.
Oh,
that's how I feel about that.
Yeah. And that's why we have a problem with I don't see color statements or I don't see you as disabled statements.
Yeah,
because you still really see that as a negative.
Yeah,
we're trying to take the negative out of these labels and embrace it and see and show y'all and ourselves what it is we are capable of. And especially in the lifting community, in the sports industry, why is this important? Why is it important to showcase lifters and athletes who are adaptive and, you know, not only because of the tools that we can share with each other, resources and other facilities that are accessible, organizations that, you know, truly work hard to train adaptive athletes. It's because we're not seen on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Right. Only recently have we been, literally in the last few years. And then when you do see it, what do you see? You see amputees, you see people in wheelchairs still. We don't cover the chronically ill. When are we going to show people who are chronically ill and openly talk about that? What it is that we do to adapt at a powerlifting or strongman meet? You know, the crazy ankle weights that Marcia puts on, how that's more to her advantage, but not to, you know, but to the disadvantage of people who are not spoonies.
Yeah. This is all very true. It's just like a wild fucking time that we live in. But I totally agree with everything you're saying. And I think it's like, so I was listening to Alex Wong's, she has a podcast of sorts. She has a book. She has a whole bunch of stuff going on disability visibility. But there was this one line that she said, and I think that kind of applies to what you're saying. Here it is. Sorry. So she said, and I'm pretty sure those are pronouns. If I fucked it up, my bad. Access is so much more than just compliance to the ADA. Access is something that we should all have a responsibility for. And access is something that we all have capacity in some way or another to give one another. I'm like, it's just fucking bars right there.
Mm. Access is an action.
Yeah, it's an action.
Which we don't realize. And we have a personal responsibility to provide to you. Wow, that's strong. I love Alice.
Yeah, she's got some bars right there. All day, every day, she spits hot fire. She doesn't stop. But I just, it just perfectly encapsulates what we're trying to say, is that you don't have to go out and be a fucking activist. You don't have to make a sign and go picket city halls and stuff. But you can look at what you're doing and understand that somebody else might need a different experience than me. What can I do for them?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And it's not just checking off a box.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not even in the slightest. And it just seems to be just so swept under the rug. Oh, you want a power lift? Just do the para whatever's. Just go ahead.
Para
bye.
Powerlifting.
Go look up the para thing. I don't know. Bye. Go look up the Special Olympics. Like, we're not going to deal with this.
True story that actually happened to me.
Exactly.
I'm still cringing.
Go find your people and do it there. Don't do it here.
Yeah.
No. We all have the capacity to get for access. Like, we really do. There's something that all of us can do. Just, do you give a shit?
Exactly. And it's not that hard.
No,
Y'all
not
think
really.
that it takes, I mean, yeah, it does take a village, you know, to make it an accessible village. But all it really takes is communication with your
Right.
athletes, with your clients, with your customers. What is it that they need?
Exactly.
How can we communicate to them that we are willing and open to, you know, making it more equitable for you to
Exactly.
be a, you know, be trained by me or to come into my building.
Yeah, or to attend my meets, even as the person in the crowd. What are you doing for the people in the crowd? Most of these places are like Mandy said in her last episode, she goes to these meets and she's literally running on her toes.
She's like, I don't give a fuck, move.
Yeah, that's what she has to fuck them toes if she has to do. But the person that's directing the meet, if they woke up and said, okay, I access is something I have the capacity for. Okay, I have this experience if somebody else does not. What can I do about it? That's all you start the train of thought with. And then, follow up with an action. And when you don't know, you find someone that does. I think that's the other part where people cop out on. It's like, one, you have to give a shit and think about it. And two, acknowledge that you don't know. Find someone to help you figure it out. Like, it's okay.
And that's why when you said you've been unlearning everything that you've learned in the first 25 years of your life, that's so important for sports like powerlifting, where it literally sprouted in a garage, you know, in somebody's backyard by able-bodied men. And so when you're not thinking about making sure there are aisles between your chairs for a wheelchair to pass through or a handicapped stall in your garage gym bathroom, like I am grateful that the ADA was signed into law because now it is required for every building that has clientele or any public access to have both a handicap stall restroom, a ramp, what else? They call it, you know, just aisles so that they're large enough to
Yeah,
either
and the
fit.
doors have to be a certain width and all of that good stuff.
You notice it too in your streets if you're walking around. Especially like a big city of ours in California is Oakland. On each corner, there's obviously a tiny little ramp for wheelchairs to be able to get up onto the sidewalk. But then you see those yellow paddings that kind of like are different than the cement, so that blind people, as they're walking up into a curb or off of a curb, they know when the street starts. And that's formulated around ADA. If you notice in cities, you know, they are building around ADA, and it's amazing. But not all cities are like that. Not all countries are like that
No,
still.
not at all. Depends on where you're at, which is pretty sad. Sad to say. I would definitely like to see a lot more access in sports and how we're showing sport. Because no one needs to see, oh my gosh, this lady is missing a leg and she's doing clean and jerks. Amazing. I can too. Like, we gotta move on, man. Like, we gotta move on from the inspiration porn and actually include people. So, I mean, this year we were doing a lot more, but pandemic canceled a lot of things. So we didn't get to see the Wheel Wad games, and I'm not sure what they're doing about that. So that's too bad. I mean, we did get to see the adaptive section of Wodapalooza, and we did get to shit on them for not giving them good enough prizes, and I think they changed it, right?
What was it, $100 versus 1,000 or
Like, the
20,000?
10th place of Able Body got more than the first place in the adaptive. Some wild shit like that, yeah. So there is some good stuff happening, but we still don't really know all about it. It's still not in the mainstream. We knew you and I know about these things because we're just getting more into it. That's where our interests are. That's what we're looking up. But if you're just a regular bro, just on strongman sites or whatever, you're just like blogging on Reddit, this might still be a mystery to you. So how do we break through that? If you're not looking for us, like, I want you to find us anyway. I think that's what I would like for in terms of access in sports and representation. Like, I want it to be in your face. You can't escape us.
And technology
that's
is
what I'd like.
That's probably why we're seeing so many people like us, or, you know, experiencing what we are experiencing, because sure, we've started a community, but we're following hashtags like adaptive athlete, we're following hashtags like disabled girls who lift, or Black and disabled, or because we want to see that on our feed. But and why is it only that disabled people want to see other disabled people? And able-bodied people only want to see us when they need some uplifting or empowering or whatever motivation you fucking need. Like, see us because you want to include us in your dialogue, you know? So that, and then teach that to your children so that when they see us out on the street, we shouldn't have to feel ashamed of not looking like them. Or, you know, the stares. We get the stares all the time.
Yep. Hot mess. Yeah, it's not even a conversation. It's not even a part of education whatsoever. Yeah. So I think our education system just like failed us all around.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, it wasn't until after I graduated from a bachelor's that I realized they formed a minority around a minority program around disability education, you know, but that's an upper division or upper higher education. We're not going to hear that in high school.
Like, I mean, like, think about it. Yeah, that makes no sense. So they make you take, you know, like, oh, you have to take one of these. You have to take a cultural class, like religions or philosophy. Like, why not
philosophy.
Stuff that matters? Fucking like
Socrates.
Why? Like appreciation of music. Like, you remember those like nothing classes? Like, you could have replaced all of that with so much more.
Yeah.
How to be anti-racism. A history of racism in America. A history of disability activism. Like, you could have went in.
And how many schools still don't allow ethnic studies classes or gender studies classes in there because it's too political? Or in high school, that's not what parents want to teach their kids. Because we're not past a colorblind society or like, look at who we have in power. He's talking shit about disabled people on live television. He's, you know, sexually harassed.
He is, and on the other end, people are also making fun of him, and that's ableist as fuck too.
Oh yeah,
like, that's just not cool either. And then people will like defend it, like, oh well, I'm not saying disabilities are bad, I'm just saying that like if Donald Trump had a stroke or something, we as the people should know, because maybe he can't do his job anymore. Like, bitch, you just said someone with a stroke can't do a job now. Do you not understand what you just said?
No,
do you not draw the same lines? Like, ugh.
Yeah,
we got to do better. We got to do better. So, like, disability in terms of the media you consume, the podcasts you listen to, the books you read, and the same for all sorts of intersections. Like, when you read a book, like, how many times is it just white cis characters? Are you reading books that talk about trans whoevers? Are you reading books that talk about someone with any sort of illness, anything? Like, what are you reading? What are you watching? And if you're not really outside of that bubble, then, you know, it's time to explore.
Yep.
It's time to explore.
Take this revolution seriously, y'all.
Yeah.
Don't just be proud of these conversations. Act on it. And really engage in that, because, like, we said this before, we are the largest minority in the world and in the United States. And there's still so many of us who are either undiagnosed or don't identify with the disability title. But we're here. We're alive and we're well.
Yeah. Might fuck around and thrive a little bit. Watch us. Watch us. So happy 30 years, ADA. And we're disabled. And yay. We're disabled. And we're not doing things despite a disability. We're disabled. And. We're disabled and badasses. We're disabled and athletes. And we're proud as fuck.
And we're proud. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're never leaving.
Mm-mm. In fact, we're just going to get louder. That's the plan. That's the plan. Anything else before we close out, Maribeth?
No. I'm excited to learn more.
Yeah, so that's your homework, guys. Look up some history, do some Googling. Maybe a good place to start is check out Disability Visibility Project, because she has a lot of essays and projects, and it's always good to hear about someone's lived experience to really understand it more than anything. And it's always important to make sure that the information you are consuming is from someone who's actually disabled.
Please.
Please.
So, and if this is the first disability podcast you've listened to, please reach out to other more. Marcy's been on Chronically Badass, which is a dope ass podcast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's so many out there. Listen to everyone's experience, because we can't represent them all, and we won't.
No, and we're not gonna pretend to know it all or live it all. We're just living our lives and talking shit, so thanks for joining us. Disabled girls out.
Thanks for listening to Disabled Girls Who Left. We appreciate all of your support and everyone who's taken the time to show us some love. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, or write a review of our channel. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Google Podcasts, and more. You can also find us on Instagram @DisabledGirlsWhoLift.